All right, here in Acts chapter 13, where I asked you to turn, I want us to look this morning at the Great Commission Partnership. The Great Commission Partnership. And to do this, we're going to look at a few passages and a few locations of Scripture here. And I want us this morning to see the way that our churches are involved in missions is this. I want us to see it directly from the Scriptures. And so we'll look at this relationship between the local church and the missionary. And to introduce this a little bit, the local church partners with missionaries to spread the gospel around the world. And so while your church, with the leadership of your pastor and the cooperation and effort of everyone here, you folks are the local gospel witness. And this is where God has you. And then you partner with missionaries. I've seen your missions wall out there. And praise the Lord for that. Some missionaries that you have partnered with. You partner with those missionaries and they are your global gospel preachers. And so this relationship is the relationship that God has designed to reach the world. And now that's, I don't know how to, I'm not a charismatic speaker here, okay, but that's a really big deal. It is a really big deal, this partnership that God has designed, and it is the relationship that God wants to use to reach the world. And I want us to see that from the Scriptures today. We summarize this work with the title, The Great Commission. From the model laid out in the Bible, the local church partners with global missionaries to fulfill the Great Commission. The pastor and church are the local gospel witness, and the missionary evangelist is the global gospel preacher. And so that introduces this relationship here. Let me pray before we look at the verses here in Acts chapter 13. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you will work in the service this morning. Thank you for these dear folks that have gathered, and thank you for the privilege and opportunity that it is for our family to be here and to minister in a small way. I pray that you, dear Holy Spirit, will be the teacher and preacher in the service this morning. I pray that we'll understand missions, we'll understand the part that you have for every individual. I pray that if there's someone here this morning that is not saved, that they would understand your message of salvation and come to you this morning. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Here in Acts chapter 13 is where this relationship really began. Now, of course, from Genesis to Revelation, the Bible is a book of missions. But the way that missionaries were sent out from a local church and such, the way that we continue to do missions to this day, it really begins here in Acts chapter 13. So let's look at these verses and see how this began. All right, verse 1, the Bible says, and I'll ask you to help me here in a second, now there were in the what? In the church. So that's a very key word here. It'd be an easy word to just read quickly through, but it's an important word here. Now, there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers as Barnabas and Simeon that was called Niger and Lucius of Cyrene and Manine, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. And as we read down through verse 5, I want to make comments on these verses as we go. So here in verse 1, it introduces the church and what I see as the eligible men who were ready and qualified to be sent out if the Holy Spirit had so done that work in their lives. Here in this first verse, there's five names mentioned. If you separate the locations and the relationships, there's five names mentioned. We're going to read in a minute that two were separated. So two of the five were separated. But the way that I read this and a way that can be a great challenge to you folks this morning, there was five men that were ready to go if God had so done the work in their lives. And that can be a great challenge to every congregation, that we would have people in our congregation that were ready to go. They were surrendered. They were spiritually minded. They were serving individuals. And these are characteristics of these men. It says here in verse 2, as they, these five men, ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And so a couple of characteristics that I give these men is that they were spiritual men. They were serving as they served. It says in verse 1 that they were prophets and teachers in this church at Antioch. And so they were serving individuals in this local church. And so we see a couple of challenges there for each of us. All right, then we read in verse 2 that the Holy Ghost separated two out of the five. Now verse 3, and when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. And so here the church laid their hands on them and sent them away. Also, the church had fasted and prayed. And so what I want you to see from this verse is this was a church that cared about this, that was involved in this. It wasn't missionaries. It wasn't two guys that wanted to go on a trip or two guys that wanted to travel. This was the church fasting and praying about what their part would be in evangelism. And they discovered that part as they fasted and prayed. And they would send two of their own to preach the gospel. So we read verse 3 and now verse 4. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. And so verses 3 and 4, I want you to see the twofold sending of a missionary. The first part is that of the church. We read how that the church had, when they had fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them and sent them away. And many times to this day, churches will still have a commissioning service. And the pastor and some men of the church will lay their hands on an individual. And not that there's anything mysterious about the laying on of the hands, but it is commissioning. It is, we are sending you with our prayers and with our authority. We are sending you to preach the gospel. And so we see that here. One of the things that you folks want to know about me is, who's my sending church? And so we see that this is still being practiced to this day. So I come to you from a church of like faith with a reputation, with doctrine, established doctrine, and all of those things. I come to you requesting help in partnership in what God wants us to do. And so we see that in verse 3. Then in verse 4 is the second part of the twofold sending. Verse 4 says, So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost. And so the second sending factor here is the Holy Ghost. Sometimes when we tell people about what we're doing and who we are, and usually it's not church people that would reply this way, but they will reply, where are they sending you? You know, like, where is the denomination sending you? Or where is the mission board sending you? Or however they would word that. But we declare that we have this direction to Ottawa from the Holy Spirit. As we have prayed about where God would have us serve, God has given us this direction. And so we see that in a small way here in verse 4. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, they departed to the city that they went to. Departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. Then in verse 5, and when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they had also John to their minister. And so we see from verse 5 the task that was the priority. and it is the preaching of the Word of God. It says, and when they were at Salamis, they preached the Word of God. And we see from that, we can learn from that. This is the primary purpose and primary task of a missionary. Many times a missionary will get involved in the community in some other way, and that is okay to build relationships and to meet people. The ministry that we plan to start at, we have another relationship there. So Pastor George Covey is a senior pastor. The assistant pastor is Pastor Stephen Michelle. And when I arrive, he wants to get on a local hockey league. And I'm interested in that. My skating needs some work, but I'm interested in that. And that would be an opportunity where, yes, we can get into the community and we can meet people and have a testimony. But as we read in verse 5, the primary task and the most important task is that we preach the Word of God. All right, so this introduces the relationship. If I can give you some thoughts to follow, we just looked at the start of the relationship. Now I want to look at the service in the relationship. And this will look at the missionary, all right? Will that be fair if we look at the missionary too? All right, the service in the relationship, and then the support in the relationship, and then the success of the relationship. I'll give you those four thoughts to follow as we make progress here. All right, let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 9 for the service in the relationship. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, and we will look at some main characteristics of the calling of a missionary and the task of a missionary. All right. Are you still with me? Okay. Very good. Some smiles, Pastor. All right. All right, and I trust that you will understand these are just a few verses touching this relationship, as we look at the main items of the relationship. So this is the service in the relationship. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 15. We're going to look at a few verses here, but the characteristics or the task of a missionary, the three words that I've really summarized it with, is the sacrifice, soul winning, and service. And I trust that you'll see that in these verses. Verse 15, Paul says, missionary Paul says to the Corinthians, but I have used none of these things, neither have I written these things, that it should be done so unto me, for it were better for me to die than that any man should make my glorying void. Now let me quit there for a minute. So he says, previous in the chapter, he's speaking about he uses the word power. In verse 4, you can see the word power. Verse 5, you can see the word power. And so he's talking about as an apostle and as a missionary, he had this relationship with the church. But he says, I'm not exercising those powers. And so we see here, we could take from this the thought of sacrifice, the overall spirit and attitude and mindset of sacrifice. And that's what our family wants to do. We want to make sacrifices so the gospel can go forward. And this is a characteristic of a missionary. Let's look at verse 16. And this is the thought of soul winning. Verse 16, for though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. I think that most men that have been called into the gospel ministry, that is heavy on their hearts. They could say with the Apostle Paul, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. And I know when God started working in my life, that is what he did in my heart. I mentioned earlier that I would go to work in construction with the family, and I would be pounding those spike nails. And God was taking that desire away from me. It seemed so insignificant that I would, you know, go to work and pound nails. And if that's what God wants you to do, that's important. But God was taking that from me, and it's not what He wants me to do now. And so now if I was back pounding those nails, or back in the milking parlor milking those cows, it would be so insignificant now, because God has put this new direction and calling in my life, and it is that of preaching the gospel. And so with the Apostle Paul, most preachers say, "Woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel." And so the missionary's life, it is characteristic of that of soul winning. So we looked at sacrifice, soul winning, and now verse 19. "For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more." And so your missionaries, they come here and they make themselves your servants, or they become your servants for the task that they have. They go to their country and they serve those people, many times people that don't even want them there. They serve them, and it is for the purpose that we might gain the more for Christ. And so this spirit of service, we are still, you know, for us coming from Michigan to Canada, it's still in the scales, right? Whether or not the folks will want us there. But we want to, we know that that is the city that God has for us. And we want to be those folks' servants so that they can come to Christ. All right, so we looked at the service in the missionary. Now let's look quickly at the support in the relationship. The support in the relationship. And when I say support, folks, most churches that have a missions program, you think of two areas, the prayer support and the financial support. And let's look at both of those, the prayer support and the financial support. Let's turn to, for the prayer support, let's turn to Ephesians 6. All right, Ephesians chapter 6. How's everybody doing? It does seem warm in here. I'm warm up here, okay? Pastor turned the heat on me. No. The cooling fan. Okay, sure. No. Okay. All right, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. The Apostle Paul makes a short prayer list here. Verse 18, the first word. "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me," okay, missionary Paul, "and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." And so from this request, the Apostle Paul makes an important prayer request to the church there. He says, "Pray for me." And he asked them to pray that he would have utterance. That he would have utterance. And this is literally for the Holy Spirit to give your missionary the words to say. You folks have the missionary wall there, and your missionaries come through and they pass out these cards. These cards that we call what? Prayer cards, okay? And so, very simple. The prayer card is so that people will pray, and you partner with your missionaries primarily in prayer. And we believe that the prayers of God's people can do more than the money that you would partner with your missionary with. And so just a challenge this morning, maybe you would renew your commitment to pray for the missionaries that you have. I know that can get on the back burner. You have those cards, and then your missionaries send letters or updates, and we call those what? Prayer letters. And you can read in there some requests that they have and individuals that they want you to pray for, and maybe a building that they're trying to buy for their congregation. And those things are happening, and great things can be accomplished when you remember your missionaries in prayer. So we see here he makes this request. He asks for utterance. Then he asks for boldness, for your missionary to have boldness in the moment to speak the truth. How many of you have felt like you missed the opportunity to speak the truth? I know that that happens to me often, that I'm in public and something happens, and when that exchange is over and I'm walking away, that's when I think of something to say or what I should say, should have said. And so you can pray for your missionaries that they will, in the moment, for boldness, in the moment to speak the truth. And if the Apostle Paul had to pray for boldness, this missionary has to pray to ask you to pray for boldness. We think of the missionary Paul as bold, very bold. And he had to ask prayers for boldness. And I need to ask, missionaries need boldness to speak the truth. Growing up, I was a very shy person. If you would have told me that I would be doing what I'm doing now when I was a boy, I would still be passed out somewhere. And that's the honest truth. And so I grew up shy and introvert, and I need prayers for boldness. And sometimes it's easier to speak here to believers, mostly believers, than it is to get out on the sidewalks in the streets and go door knocking and ask people, are you ready for eternity? Are you ready to meet God? Do you know the Lord? You ask those questions and it gets very confrontational. And we need boldness as we go on our missions work. Then he makes a request for the ability and opportunity to preach, to make known the mystery of the gospel. And so he makes these requests. All right, now I need to hurry along. Let's look at the financial support. The financial support quickly. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. All right. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. All right. Pastor, are you usually done at noon?
Well, usually
11:30, but we usually 11. Start late today, 11:30. Oh, man. Okay. All right. Has anybody quit on me yet?
No.
Okay. All right. I had in my mind, I had noon. But, okay. Let me bring this to a finish. Here in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 in verse 8, and this is done. I'll do this with a little bit of humor here, okay? Verse 8, missionary Paul, he says, I robbed other churches. How does that sound so far? Sounds interesting, right? All right. Then he says, taking wages of them to do you service. And so just to look at this quickly, I, missionary Paul, robbed other location, churches, plural or singular, plural, taking wages of them to do you service. And so I wanted you to see this from the scriptures what we continue to practice and how your church partners with missionaries, has its foundation in the scriptures. And the reason I say, I believe that he calls it robbing, I don't like that. I'm a missionary. Missionaries aren't robbers, are they? But the reason that I believe he says that, and he explains it a little bit in verse 9, let me read verse 9. And when I was present with you and wanted, I was chargeable to no man, for that which was lacking to me, the brethren which came from Macedonia supplied. And in all things I have kept myself from being burdensome unto you, and so will I keep myself. And so I believe the Apostle Paul was saying, your pastor serves here and receives wages to serve you, the missionary comes through and he receives wages not to serve you, but to serve someone else. And so I believe that is that explanation of the robbing. He's He wasn't going to pay you back with service. He was going to go and serve someone else in another location. So I robbed other churches. Now, let's see if I can get a reply here. So your missionaries are... Okay, that's okay. In this sense, in what he's speaking, that is what the Apostle Paul said that he was doing. I want you to see that the financial aspect of it from the scriptures here. All right, let me mention one more verse in closing. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. The scriptures say there, and this gets into the success of the relationship. The scripture says there, "And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." And what I want to point out there is the word both. The word both. How many locations were mentioned? Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost part. And so do we usually do that? Does that look like both? No. So what is the scriptures telling us? The scriptures is telling us the church has a responsibility both here and there, both near and far. And so this relationship comes together, and you folks witness here in the Jerusalem, and you partner with missionaries who will go to that Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost part of the earth. And so that is when we see success in this relationship, when the gospel is here, but then it goes there. And so we have those four thoughts quickly, or I guess not so quickly, but the start of the relationship, the service in the relationship, the support in the relationship, and then the success of the relationship. Look at those four things. We can see from the scriptures that our missions work is scriptural, and even from that, let's pray this morning that we will each know our small part in this great task. Our family, we have direction right now for our task in the Great Commission. And I pray that you know your task. If you are here, you're praying and giving and being a witness here in the Great Commission. And that if you're not, that maybe this morning it would be a challenge for you to be involved in the missions program and the outreach efforts of this local church. And those can be some challenges for us this morning as I close. I'll pray and then Pastor will come.